Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need, but there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to get smarter when you hear what Dr. Elaine Allen has to say. Dr. Elaine Allen is Associate Professor of Statistics and Entrepreneurship at Babson College, which is an organization I've been telling you about for a long time. I'm sure we have a mutual friend in my friend, Patty Green, who's a great supporter of small businesses and entrepreneurship all around the world. And Elaine has an important report to talk to us about today. Elaine, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
It's good to have you here.
And actually, Patty Green is a very close colleague of mine.
She's a swell lady, isn't she?
Absolutely.
How are we going to get her out of her shell? Don't we need to work on that a little bit?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You be sure to tell her I said that.
I will.
No, she's a great lady. And entrepreneurship, small business owners are fortunate to have her on their side. I'm glad she's on our side, Elaine, not on the other side.
Right.
The Global Entrepreneurship Monitor, Elaine, is something I've been talking to my audience about since the very first one in 1999. I stumbled upon this one that was actually the first one was co-funded by the Kauffman Foundation, and I stumbled upon it back in 99, and I thought it was a watershed document. I've been telling people about it ever since, but more recently, since the original one, you guys have been doing a report on women in entrepreneurship, haven't you?
Yes, we have.
Is this the second one? Is this the third one? Okay, I couldn't remember.
Yes.
I knew I've talked about these in the past. I couldn't remember if it was two or three. So why do we need to have a separate research study just on women entrepreneurs? Why is that important?
It's important for several reasons. One is that the motives that women have for starting businesses are usually different than those men have, and we want to be able to look worldwide and see where is there a hotbed of women's entrepreneurship and how can banks and countries change their policies so that we have some kind of a parity between men and women.
So, now you said a couple of pretty important things there. Number one, the first one was that women start businesses for different reasons than men. Now,
yes.
Now what did you find?
Well, we found that we categorize entrepreneurship in two categories. One is opportunity, and the other is necessity. And for men, it's often the opportunity. They see this would be a great business, and they'll start it. For women, it's often necessity because they either need to supplement their income or they need to bring in some income. So it's a necessity for them to start a business.
Well, you know, I wonder, Elaine, if maybe it's all a matter of the way you look at this thing, because men obviously need to feed their families too. I wonder if part of this isn't that when men start businesses to feed their family, they think on a larger scale, maybe more of a slay the dragon kind of scale to feed their family. Whereas women, when they think about feeding their family, they do the things that more closely look like they're feeding their family. What do you think?
I think you have a good point there, and I can think of two reasons here. One is we see that men are the big risk takers, that women mm-hmm. are much less likely to go in and try and slay the dragon. And the other is while we see that men and women have the same kinds of business, I know from my research in Massachusetts on women running companies that their companies are smaller and they are more grassroots oriented and they are more likely to not be based on any venture or angel funding. They're mostly their own money or family money.
Well, you know, you mentioned, you bring up the word money. Ann Holmes is the author of a new book called There's a Business in Every Woman. She's just on the show, and she was talking about one of the things that holds women, hold women back is that is the way they think about money. They have a different attitude about money and risking money than men do.
That, and we found that in our research, that they are much less likely to go about trying to build their business and make it bigger with some kind of outside investment. They're much more likely to reinvest their own money and use that to build their business. But their businesses are by no means as large as men's businesses.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's been the case for a long time. When we come back, I want to get Elaine to talk about this parity thing that she mentioned, getting companies and banks and countries to think about making things more equal among men and women in starting businesses. We'll get her to talk to us about that right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 till, and we're rocking and rolling with our new friend, Dr. Elaine Allen. She is, in addition to being Associate Professor of Statistics and Entrepreneurship at Babson College up in the great state of Massachusetts, she is also a serial entrepreneur. You've got quite a background in biotech, don't you, Elaine?
That's right, yeah.
And you've had how many companies in biotech?
Four. I think I'm
all raging successes or any failures?
One went public, and two I sold, and one is we're still working on. I sort of think I have a short attention span.
Well, but if you're creating something other people want, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing, and I enjoy it.
Why do you think women? I want to get to the parity thing in just a minute, but in your research, why do you think women are more averse to risk? Is it really the wiring thing? Is it the difference between testosterone and estrogen? What do you think it is?
I think part of it may be not wiring, maybe a little wiring, but certainly it's a cultural stereotype, particularly in what we see in our low and middle income countries, where they are really the hearth and the home. And I think that's true in developed countries. We see very little entrepreneurship on women in Ireland, for example, and it's not very. It's not.
Ireland has low women entrepreneurship.
Very, very low women.
That's surprising.
Yeah, in fact, it is surprising given their economy and their front-looking economy. But we do see. I mean, some countries like the Philippines, the women are outpacing the men.
And Russia, I saw that. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah. So that. I mean, and that is this is the first year we have had them in our survey. So it will be interesting to see what happens in the coming year.
Yeah.
And you know, we divide entrepreneurship into the early stage entrepreneurs, and then we look at people who've kept that business running for over 42 months as being established businesses.
One of the things we want to do on this show, Elaine, is not only report the findings of your survey, but we want to talk about, and come up with some ideas that we can, some solutions that we can create from this research that will help women, and not only women, but all entrepreneurs, take the next step and be more successful. I'm very troubled, Elaine, by the recent research that we're getting from the SBA, that business failures have increased by 20%. 50% of businesses failed in 5 years, about 10 years ago. Today, they're failing at the rate of 50% in 4 years. That's very troubling to me.
That is. Although they also said that twice as many women are starting businesses than men, I think.
That's right. No, that's exactly right. No, that's an important topic. But back to what do you think women can do to overcome their fear of failure? Is that something they can do with skills, by raising their skill level? And
they can. And what was interesting in our report was, people always say, oh, they need more education. That's not what they need. They need to get a job and be out in the business sector learning how business runs.
Mm-hmm.
Having a job is the most important thing in terms of women entrepreneurs. We see women entrepreneurs that they go in the workplace, they see how business runs, they're introduced to people that start businesses, and then they start a business themselves. And I think that is something that lowers their fear level.
Well, you know, the marketplace is a very aggressive environment.
Yes.
And women typically aren't always as aggressive as men are they?
That's right. And I think that's why you see the smaller business size, less vision to have the new Enron, for example.
But do we do a disservice to women to make them feel that they're not doing the right thing if they're not growing their business and conquering the world?
No, I think we're fine in nurturing women's businesses to be whatever size they want to be.
But if they want to stay small, it's okay.
It's okay. It's absolutely okay.
See, that's the thing I want to point out to people is, you know, I had a guy on the show a while back, and he basically said, if you're not growing and trying to go public, you know, you're not really a business. And I disagreed with him on that. I said, you know what? I know a lot of people who are very happy. You know, to me, being a small business owner is as much about being happy or more than it is about the financial rewards.
You're absolutely right. And actually, from my own experience, I am not someone that ever wants to have a big company and a lot of employees. I'm much happier being my own person,
right,
and being able to do what I want to do. And when we look at what women entrepreneurs think, while they think that there's more risk, they also, once they have a business that's been going, they, I think, have a higher level of satisfaction than men who are really born and bred to grow, earn more, and keep things moving.
Mm-hmm. You know, back to on this parity thing you mentioned earlier, you said we need to work on banks and countries to provide more parity for women. I think the United States maybe a woman entrepreneur would say we aren't quite there yet, but we certainly have come a long way, haven't we?
We certainly have, and I think in other countries we're seeing that microfinance is the way to go.
Oh yeah, well, a man won a Nobel Prize for that.
He did. In fact, last year, before he won the Nobel Prize, he came to Babson for a week.
Right, yeah. Remind us his name.
I don't know his
name. I forgot his name. I know it. And the name of his bank.
But it's microfinance, and he's not the only one. There's certainly many other countries that are deciding, and the World Bank is now advocating it.
Do you know what? You know where else this is happening? In Iraq right now. I know the lady who's providing, I know what her name is, we talked to her on our show, who is providing microloans for small businesses, men and women, in Iraq right now, and have been for 3 years.
Now,
you don't see that on CNN, do you? Stand by, Elaine. We're going to take a quick break. It's 10 till. Why isn't that on CNN, ladies and gentlemen? That's an important thing. Ask them about that.
When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand.
Welcome back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our new friend, Dr. Elaine Allen, who's with Babson College. She's a professor of statistics and entrepreneurship at Babson College, which is an outstanding institution that I have been telling you about for a long time. And we're talking about the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor, the women's edition of that, the report on women entrepreneurship in 2006. By the way, Elaine, would you tell us how we can get this report, please?
Yes, you can get the report if you go to our website, babson.edu, and just click on entrepreneurship, and it'll be there.
Right.
Or you can go to the GEM Consortium, GEMconsortium.org, and it's, as soon as you go in there, you'll see all the reports available to you.
It's,
and we're number one.
It's good stuff, and it's in plain English too. Thank you for that, Elaine.
Okay.
I that's the only reason why I plugged into it back in '99, because I could actually read it and understand it in plain English. It was well done.
We have it reviewed by people in 40 countries, So we have to make it so that everybody can understand it.
You said something as we went to the break, as we were on the break, when I mentioned the fact that thousands of loans are being made, have been made for 3 years now. June Reed, by the way, is her name, Elaine. She's a great American. She's been in Iraq now in her third year in Iraq, helping the Iraqis build their economy, and by loaning them microloans to start small businesses. And their repayment rate is through the roof. It's almost 100%.
And I think that's true in those microloan situations, that they have incredible payback.
But you never hear that in any of the mainstream media. But you had an interesting thing that you said about the Iraqis when we went to the break. Tell us about that.
Right, and this started last year. Iraq was the first country to ask if they could translate the women's report into Arabic so they could hand it out to the Iraqi government to read, because the woman I've been working with is with the U.S. AID. And it's called the Private Sector Growth.
Who are you working with over there? Do you know? Can you say?
Suzanne Jalbert.
Let's circle back and make sure June Reed gets that information too. I bet they're colleagues. I bet they're probably.
I bet they are.
I bet their desks are side by side over there.
Yeah.
But isn't it a shame that we don't hear about those kinds of things in the media? I mean, this is important information about women starting businesses over there, isn't it?
And in fact, it's so important, and I didn't even know about it until she contacted me, because Iraq, of course, is not in a position to do its own survey of
right.
women's businesses at
right.
this point in time. We have 40 countries in this report, but Iraq, while we hope next year it may have the infrastructure, at this point it doesn't have the government infrastructure, but it certainly has many entrepreneurial women.
Well, my audience knew about it because we've been reporting on Iraq from people on the ground in Iraq, telling the real story about what's happening over there, not the homogenized, pasteurized version that you get in the mainstream media. We've been telling people what really is going on over in Iraq, and it's a different story. There are many successes in Iraq right now those stories need to be told, and I'm glad you brought one of them with you. In the time remaining we have, Elaine, what else would you like to know, first to know about women around the world, women entrepreneurship around the world?
I think I'd like to tell you two things. One is that women, while they are making small gains, they are closing the gap between men and women entrepreneurship in early stages, and developing countries have much more entrepreneurship than a developed country because of the necessity.
But well, they've got a lot of making up to do, don't they?
Absolutely. But on the other hand, when you look at established entrepreneurs and businesses more than 42 months, the U.S. is more likely to have women succeeding in established businesses.
Because they've got more access to capital.
Much more access to capital. It's much easier to start a company in the U.S. than it is in another country.
But wouldn't you agree that, wouldn't we find that would also be true of men too? Because the one thing I remember about the first Global Entrepreneurship Monitor back in 99 was that the soil is much more fertile for entrepreneurs in America than any other country on the planet.
It is, and it's much more fertile for a company to be able to last 3, 4, 5 years.
It's in our culture. It's in the marketplace.
And taxes are much better
absolutely.
Here than, for example, European countries.
And as bad as our regulations are, it's much lower here.
Much lower.
Yeah, and much easier to start a business here too.
Right.
And we have a lot more support, like folks from Babson College and Elaine, Dr. Elaine Allen. Elaine, will you come back another day? We got a lot more to talk about.
I will, because we'll be issuing a U.S. report in about 3 months.
I'm looking forward to that. You have the green light to come on back.
Thank you very much.
Be sure to say hi to Patty.
I will do that. It's wonderful to meet you.
You too. Dr. Elaine Allen, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.